Thank you, Tom. It's as a speaker, it always gives me a great sense of reassurance when there's no immediate, you know, questions that come at the first presenter. It always makes me feel a little bit more calm. But I have a question for all of you before I introduce myself. How many of you have been involved with a project that had right-of-way issues at some point? All right. Okay, good. Well, if you have questions, you'll be question and answer period will be interesting. My name is Mike O'Callaghan. I am a senior right-of-way agent here in District 4. I'm going to be making this presentation today with the assistance of the other senior right-of-way agent, Laura Hammeister. She'll be covering the utility slides. There we are. The District 4 right-of-way staff is very well trained. I feel very fortunate to be working with some wonderful people. We have three agents that are splitting all nine of the Bay Area counties amongst themselves, and another agent that is assisting Laura with utilities specifically. So please contact us if at any point in your project you have any questions about right-of-way. We're more than happy to get involved with you before the problems come up, if they come up. Hopefully they don't. Okay, there are a couple of things that we wanted to make sure that everybody's on the same page with when we go forward with the right-of-way certification process as part of your project or your city, county, towns project. Number one is that it's very important to contract with right-of-way experts if there's going to be right-of-way acquisition or if assistance is going to be needed with preparing the right-of-way certification that's required for your project. This is my second time working in local, well, it's called local programs. It was called local public agencies years ago when I was first in this role. And we used to get right-of-way certifications that were prepared by the engineers. And it always took a little bit of effort to work with the engineers to get the certifications filled out correctly. As things have changed and the progress has progressed or evolved, it's a much, much better idea to consult with right-of-way experts that know exactly how to fit the parts of the right-of-way acquisition process together. So a good idea to keep in mind as you go forward with your projects. Always accurately identify your right-of-way activities. Another thing, remember that anytime you have to step foot onto private property for part of your project, it is a right-of-way requirement. If you're going onto private property and it's going to require digging or even just staging, it's going to be considered a right-of-way requirement, a temporary easement. Permits to enter are used when there is only a benefit to a property owner. Adjustment of utilities is a relocation, requires notice to owner. I think Laura's going to be speaking a little bit more specifically about that later on. Take advantage of tasks that can be performed prior to NEPA clearance. Anybody have any ideas of what those tasks may be? Any guesses? I'll just give you, we have a nice sheet. It's a two-page document that is available. Verifying existing utilities, you can do that before you have your NEPA clearance. Surveying, preliminary engineering, ordering title reports. But don't start talking to the property owners and saying, hey, we're going to come onto your property and we might have to use eminent domain at some point. And, you know, don't go there, please. So that's very, very specific thing not to do before you have NEPA clearance. And then do be familiar with the right-of-way certification forms, especially 13B. Laura may have some more to say about this later, but it used to be called a no right-of-way certification. It is now considered a simple short-form right-of-way certification. 13A, by the way, is our normal right-of-way cert. Okay, right-of-way pitfalls. Project does not comply with the Uniform Act and the codes of federal regulations. Anybody familiar with the Uniform Act? Okay, there will be another slide. I'll talk a little bit more about it. But it does rule us as far as what we do in right-of-way, what we're restricted from doing by the federal codes. Make sure, as I mentioned before, your consultant selection process is followed accurately. I had the occasion a couple of weeks ago with one of my staff to meet with a small town here in the Bay Area. They had contacted local assistance to ask about whether their estimates for right-of-way acquisition were accurate. And my staff member and I were kind of nervous about that because we didn't know exactly where they were in their project. We know they did not yet have NEPA clearance, but they wanted to make sure if the estimates were okay. So luckily, they had actually hired a right-of-way consultant, and the consultant had been giving them some advice on how they should proceed with their project. But it gave us a great amount of relief to find out that they had actually worked with a right-of-way professional that knew exactly what they were going to be doing with their project. So an important thing to remember is to get a good consultant. Notices, another pitfall would be that notices to owner do not reflect a meeting of the minds. Utility relocations may not comply with Buy America, which will be coming up in just a few moments. And I will avoid invoices. I think this would be better suited for the local assistance engineers. Okay, the relocation, I'm not going to read the whole slide to you, but I will just tell you this, a little bit of history on the Uniform Act. Prior to 1970, especially during the highway, the interstate and highway expansion across the United States, transportation agencies were using eminent domain by their state laws, the state regulations, and there was not a full force, you know, way of doing it in one uniform way. So in 1970, Congress passed the Uniform Act, and that has streamlined the right-of-way acquisition process for federal aid projects. It's made our lot, well, I wasn't around in 1970, obviously, none of us were, but as I understand it, it has made things a lot easier for us as far as going through with a straightforward process that affects all property owners uniformly. So, as I mentioned before, the right-of-way certification forms are, sorry, I got it backwards. 13A is the short form right-of-way certification. It's used when there are no acquisitions, and that when all work is being done or proposed in the existing right-of-way. 13B, formerly known as the short form, is intended for use on all local assistance projects off the highway system, state highway system, where federal funds are used, and where all right-of-way or real rights and real property are required. The form can also be used when work is required for local agency projects located primarily. Okay, I think we got that.